And so tonight, we're going to shift gears and we're going to consider the work of God from a totally different perspective. And that is from the perspective of the wind who are already in heaven. And that is Isaiah chapter 26. It's a longish chapter, but the content is vital to our understanding. And so we're going to read that. One commentator said that this is the jewel of all the chapters in Isaiah. Listen carefully to God's word. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, a nation that keeps faith. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. He humbles those who dwell on high. He lays the lofty city low. He levels it to the ground and casts it down to the dust. Feet trample it down, the feet of the oppressed, the footsteps of the poor. The path of the righteous is level. O righteous one, you make the way of the righteous smooth. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. When your judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. Though grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. Even in a land of uprightness, they go on doing evil and regard not the majesty of the Lord. O Lord, your hand is lifted high, but they do not see it. Let them see your zeal for your people and be put to shame. Let the fire reserved for your enemies consume them. Lord, you establish peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. O Lord our God, other lords besides you have ruled over us, but your name alone do we honor. They are now dead, they live no more. Those departed spirits do not rise. You punished them and brought them to ruin. You wiped out all memory of them. You have enlarged the nation, O Lord. You have enlarged the nation. You have gained glory for yourself. You have extended all the borders of the land. Lord, they came to you in their distress when you disciplined them. They could barely whisper a prayer. As a woman with child and about to give birth writhes and cries out in her pain, so were we in your presence, O Lord. We were with child, we writhed in pain, but we gave birth to wind. We have not brought salvation to the earth, we have not given birth to a people of the world. But your dead will live, their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. Go, my people, enter your rooms and shut the doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until his wrath has passed by. See, the Lord is coming out of his dwelling to punish the people of the earth for their sins. The earth will disclose the blood shed upon her. She will conceal her slain no longer. May God indeed bless to us the reading and hearing of his own holy and infallible word. Amen. But your dead will live, their bodies will rise. I believe it was Robert Frost who wrote the poem, Two Roads Diverged in a Yellow Wood. And the poem is concluded with these words, I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Well, this evening, as we look at Isaiah 26, we see two cities, two roads diverging, as it were, into those cities, but there is only one choice that you have. Because once that choice is made, then the destination to either this city on this road or that city on that road becomes clear. Two cities, two roads, and only one choice. That is what Isaiah describes, or at least the redeemed describe for us. We find two cities in verses 1 through 6. The two roads in verses 7 through 11, and then the one choice in verses 12 through 19. Consider firstly the two cities that the redeemed speak of. The first city we see in verse 1. It says, we have a strong city. This reflects the security of the city of God itself. It reminds me of Psalm 121, 1 and 2, that says, those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people. A strong city. Reminds me, too, of the description of the heavenly city in Revelation chapters 21 and 22. You remember in that vision that John had, he said, and I saw the holy city, the heavenly Jerusalem, descending out of heaven. Do you remember the description in terms of the size? It was 12,000 stadia, or in our measurements, it was 1,400 miles wide, 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles high. It was a perfect cube. The city of God coming down out of heaven. And it is a description of the redeemed in that city, of their experience on earth as to how they got to the city. Isn't it interesting that when we think of heaven, that it is natural to think of it in terms of the song that is to be sung. A song suggests the mood of heaven, not melancholy, not doleful, but a joyful, magnificent, triumphant song when we get into the kingdom. There is the city. The security of it is such that it is protected completely by God. Notice the entrance into the city in verse 2. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter. Who are those that may enter this strong city? Only those who are the righteous. And who are they who are righteous? They are the believers. Not because they are good, not because their own personal holiness, but because they have trusted in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. And because He was righteous, they are invited to come in. That is the only way. And notice the experience of the inhabitants in verse 3. We probably all know it better from the King James or from the New American Standard. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. The song of the redeemed, reminding those of us on earth, Isaiah speaking to the people of God who were in the midst of their adversity, God will give you peace regardless of the trial and the adversity. You will be stayed, you will be satisfied, you will be contented in Him as long as your mind will be fixed upon Him. How often have you found yourself in the midst of some trial and adversity and struggle, as I have, where your mind was disturbed, or you felt very anxious and worried, and so you struggled in prayer to let your mind be fixed on God, and you began to experience the peace, the perfect peace that only the redeemed know. Notice the foundation of the city in verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. Those of us who were raised on the King James or other versions will appreciate the literal translation of the rock eternal, for it is the rock of ages, from which a verse from which our song that so many love to sing, the rock of ages, and such is our God. He is a rock. He does not change, and He is always there. And the foundation of the city of God is God Himself. Notice the other city, though. I said there were two cities. In verse 1, we have the strong city. In verse 5, we have the other city. Which one is that? He humbles those who dwell on high. He lays the lofty city low. Doesn't it remind you when the human race became so proud and arrogant that it decided to come together and build a tower that would reach all the way up to heaven, because mankind thought that he was on a par with God. And so God came and he struck them with a confusion of languages, so that one person asked for a screwdriver, he was given a hammer. One yelled down instructions to another fellow, and he didn't know what he was talking about. Hence, we get our word babbling from the Tower of Babel or the Tower of Babel. So, as a result of the pride of man, God judged mankind, and in the same way, the lofty city, which represents anybody who is not a member of the kingdom. For the lofty city is judged primarily because it is a proud and it is an arrogant rejection of God. A man who rejects Christ is an arrogant man, because he thinks that he can be good enough to impress God, or that he doesn't really need God anyway. Well, those are the two cities. There is either the strong city for the people of God, or else there is the lofty city that is, in verse 5, leveled to the ground, and it is cast down to the dust. But then, there are two roads leading to these cities. The first road in verse 7 that leads to the strong city or the city of God is in verse 7. The path of the righteous is level. Who made this road? Notice verse 7 again. O upright one, that is, O God, you make the way of the righteous smooth. Reminds us of the prophecies of Isaiah once again in chapter 40, where he says that the rough places will be smooth over. God will make the way smooth and clear for the righteous. Not that we will be carried to heaven on a bed of ease, but only that God will enable you to make it into the kingdom. What does this mean except that Jesus Christ has smoothed the road to heaven for us by His death on the cross, by His paying the full price for our sin? He has removed every obstacle from the way. You may be forgiven. You and I may be changed. You and I may be new people. And the way is clear if we will see it by faith. God Himself made this way smooth for us. What is the road made of? Well, look at verse 8. The road, yes, Lord, walking in the way of Your laws. Why, the road to the king, to the strong city, to the kingdom of God, is paved with the laws of God. You and I say, well, but we can't walk the way of the laws of God, because you are a sinner and I am a sinner, and there's no way that we can achieve that level of perfection in order to walk this. But that's the way the road is paved. And the only way to walk this road is by walking the laws of God. How can we do it? Well, we can do it by taking into our lives the perfect law keeper. Who is that? That was Jesus Christ. When we take the perfect law keeper, who kept the law of God perfectly, when we take Him into our hearts, what does that make us? That makes us righteous in God's sight. Therefore, it is by virtue of Christ that we're able to walk the road of the laws of God. You know, all of this talk about road reminded me of Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7:13. Where Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Are you one of those few tonight who has found the narrow road to life, to the strong city? The redeemed in heaven look back upon earth and they say to themselves, "This is how we have found it." How do you discover it? The redeemed remind us. Look in verse 8, it says, "Yes, Lord, walking in the way," they walk. They don't stand, they don't sit. They are not always searching for the truth, wondering whether this is right or wondering whether this is wrong, and sizing up all the other choices that they have, but they begin to walk. They may not understand all there is to understand in Christianity and in Christ, but they begin to walk the way of Christ. And they put their faith and they begin to step and they begin to move by faith in Him. They begin to walk. Not only do they walk in verse 8 again, it says, we wait for you. Remember, the deemed are looking back and they're thinking, this is what we're singing. We walked this way and we waited for God. We're reminded of Psalm 41 through 3, where in part the psalmist David says, I waited patiently, and the Hebrew word there is, in waiting, I waited. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my prayer. And He lifted me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and put a song in my heart. And so that's what the redeemed sing about, that God did it. He smoothed the way. He made the path. And now we walk and we wait upon this God who has done all for us. They also desired Him. In verse 8, once again, it says, your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. They desired God. They personally yearned for Him. Did you notice in our reading that it says that their yearning was specific? My soul yearns for you in the night. I had a friend of mine at Belhaven College who would sometimes set his clock, alarm clock, for midnight. You know why? Because the psalmist said, I will rise at midnight and praise you. Have you tried that? My soul yearns for God more than the sleep that my body needs. Yes. My soul yearns for you in the night and in the morning. My desire is for God. But there is a cost of not following, and that is the other road. The other road is indicated in verse 11. O Lord, your hand is lifted high, but they do not see it. Let them see your zeal for your people and be put to shame. Let the fire reserved for your enemies consume them. I say two roads to two different cities. One is the road of the righteous to the strong city, and the other is the road of the unbeliever to the city which is lofty, but it will be destroyed. And the important thing is that there is only one choice. Did you notice in our reading in verses 12 and 13 how the people who are in heaven as envisioned by Isaiah, reflecting back upon their experience, acknowledge the fact that there were times when they had other gods and other lords. It says in verse 12, Lord, you establish peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. O Lord our God, other lords besides you have ruled over us. Boy, that's a sermon in itself. Other lords besides you have ruled over us. Many of us here tonight have had other lords to rule over us. And you will have other lords. Before you finally make it to the kingdom in heaven, but God, who has made the way smooth for the righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ, will help you to get there. I just wonder if there are some tonight who have another Lord ruling over you. Perhaps you have your own interest and your own desires, your own mental processes ruling over you. You have another Lord. Maybe some of us here believe that we have come to the house of worship to worship God, but we have to confess that we're worshiping just our own imaginations, and we don't really have this Lord. We don't have God ruling over us. Perhaps there's some of you who yet have not trusted in Christ. Other lords have ruled over us. But in the kingdom, the redeemed look back and confess, yes, it's true. I am ashamed of it, and I confess it. It is a blot, as it were, upon my past. There is the memory somehow of what life was on this earth and all that I did. But in the midst of all that memory and bad record, there is the confession, Lord, you established peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done. Because God is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the initiator and He is the finisher of your faith. That is our song. It is the song of the redeemed when we finally make it into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But there's only one choice. It is the choice. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. What is your choice? Do you choose the one less traveled by? Or are you just following everybody else? Two roads leading to two cities. Only one choice. May God give to each of us tonight the insight and the wisdom to choose the road that leads to the strong city through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray.